You know, a few years ago, there was a young guy that went to Singapore. His name was, and probably still is, Michael Fay. Not my mama's name, F-A-Y-E, but sounds the same, Michael Fay. And he was accused of doing damage to cars, vandalism. And when he was caught, his sentence was to be caned, to be beaten with a cane. One of the problems that Michael Fay had was he was in another country. And any individual that goes to another country should ask themselves, who's in control? What are the rules of this country? And what are the consequences if I violate them? Michael Fay can be used as a microcosm of this world. In this world, we're in God's universe, and often we violate the rules of this country. I'm not talking about the United States now. I'm talking about the planet that God made. And we don't even ask many times, what are the rules and what are the consequences? In a case like that with Michael Fay, he suffered the consequences. I submit to you that if the microcosm that I'm bringing up with Michael Fay holds true, the same will hold true for us. The title that I've picked for us tonight is that how to identify those that have rejected the authority of God and replaced it with their own. How? Now, as we've talked about before, this was written to Theophilus. And Theophilus has been given a multiplicity of teachings. As Dree spoke about earlier, he was taught and showed how a man's life is supposed to be productive for God, and if it's not productive to God, the consequences. And the amazing thing was it was done in such a way that it was laid right there before the disciples, for them, and summarily it showed also what it meant to those Jewish people. But in this passage tonight that I'm so anxious to get into, we're going to deal with four things, and the Lord gave it to me. I believe he gave it to me, and I wrote it down. I didn't even trust my memory. Now I wrote it down where you probably couldn't read it because I can write in my own short code. One, and just four little points that I want to bring up, and they'll have little sub-points, and they'll have children, grandchildren, stepchildren, etc., because I don't believe that when they taught, when Jesus taught, he said, well, I got point one, two, three, four, and I'm going to stop right here. Point number one, usurping the authority of God and replacing it with ourselves. Two, insincere questioning of the authority of God. The next one, rejecting the authority of God. Because the reason I have that rejecting the authority of God, we'll see it. Then silencing the authority of God so it can't be heard. Those four points will lead to the fifth crucible. You know what that is? The consequence. And if you will help me to help us look at this passage, hopefully in a different light than what we've looked at it before. And if we have looked at it in this light before, it'll be a review. Help me now. We've already gone, because of my introduction, 4 minutes. So let's make some time, okay? Go for it.
One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us, by what authority..."
Just stop right there. By what?
What authority?
That's where the title came from. If Theophilus ever was going to learn why what Jesus said was so important, if this right here didn't sink it in with all of the other things that have gone about in 19 chapters, I don't think he'll get it. Now, the Bible says it came to pass after the people had been attentive to him that on one of those days, he taught many times, "The head of man is hard and fully set within him to do evil." The Bible says he taught the people in the temple. He taught and preached. He was in the place where they would gather, and he's dealing with religious people. The Bible says he taught in the temple. He preached the gospel. And there are three groups of people there when I was reading it to you all the other night, I think it was last night I read some of it. I said, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Plural. Well, not just the people, but there are some that Luke is making emphasis on. The chief priests, important people, the scribes, the one that interpret the scriptures, and the elders, the one that are the presbyters, or the ones that are usually considered to be in charge. Please read, Precious.
"Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority."
I submit to you that these people already had a structure of authority. That's why one can be called a chief priest. That's why one can be in charge insofar as the people's mind is concerned to interpret the scripture and to write the scriptures concerning what we call scribes. And then we have the elders, those many times that would judge the Sanhedrin. And those that already had a certain amount of authority that they've gotten, how they've gotten it, I don't know. Maybe they usurped it. Maybe they got it because somebody liked somebody. Could have started off good and got bad. Irrespective, I submit to you that the authority that they had was not good. And I'll develop it as we go. And they spake to him, Jesus, saying, "Tell us, by what authority, what power, who gives you the right to do these things? By what authority do you do it? And who it is that gave it to you?" That's a powerful question. I submit to you that they know that he's doing it by some authority. Sometimes they claim them of doing it by Beelzebub. But then he shuts them up, and then if I'm doing it by Beelzebub, when your children do the same thing, who do they do it by? So now they say, "Tell us. We're not going to put the words in your mouth. You tell us. But we're not going to attribute it to God." Please read.
"He answered them, 'I also will ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?'"
Well, those that are reading the King James Version said, "I'll ask you one thing." Well, when you look at the question that he asked, it was still one question. I'll ask you one question. Here's the thing. You want something from me. You want to know what authority? You come to me. This is a challenge. I will answer the challenge on this condition. This is a condition. You answer me this. The baptism that John was doing, was it from heaven, which is a euphemism many times for the Jewish people of God, or was it from men? Now, when we lay this down in such a beautiful way, we begin to understand something. You see, I was reading in John chapter 1, and I decided not to read it all to us tonight. Go back and read it and see what the Bible says. They sent people to John, and they wanted to know, "John, who are you? And who are you supposed to be? And why are you baptizing?" And John told them, "I'm not the Christ. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the paths of the Lord.'" That's what John said. And John told them, "There's one that's coming after me." He said, "He's mightier than me." And he says, "His shoes, I'm unable to loose. Didn't he say it? And then later on, John calls this Jesus the Lamb of God. Later on, John said, I didn't even know who he was, but the one that sent me told me that whomever I see the dove or the spirit come upon, that's he that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Then he say it. Now, Jesus asked these people that had already sent to John when he was not standing around, thank you video of the book of God, of John. He sent and he asked. But what did John say? I'm the voice of one crying. I must read some of that for you all in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. Listen to what the word of God says. I would tell you where it said he has given them double for her sins. I won't go there. Verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's the way of God, Yahweh. Make straight in the desert, a highway for our God. This is John said, this is what I'm doing. Every valley shall be exalted. Those that are low will be raised up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The boy said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. The grass withers and the flower fadeth. Go back to where we were. When Jesus asked them, is the baptism of John from heaven or of men? Was John a liar? Was John making this up? When John is quoting Isaiah, is he a false prophet? Now, he asked the question. They asked the question. They already people are in authority. They're asking the question, by what authority do you do things as this world is today? By where do you get your authority? Who made you a judge? That's the way you interpret scripture. How do you know what Jesus would say? Insincere asking questions about authority causes one to walk in rebellion. Jesus asked the question again. Read, please.
I also will ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?
Number 5.
And they discussed it with one another.
They discussed it. They reasoned with each other. Listen to the Greek word here. Sulogizomai, I'll turn the volume up so you all can taste it too. Because some of these words, if I pronounce it incorrectly, somebody might laugh. Here's the word. Sulogizomai. What does sulogizomai mean? It means they get together, they think about it, they reckon it, and they deliberate. They deliberated about this question and the answer that they would give. Please read.
And they discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him?
Well, the question is not just what he will say. The real question is, why didn't you believe him? You see, if it was from heaven, why did you not believe? When God's word is given so many times, why do we not believe? When God tells us to separate sometimes from family, from friends, when God tells us to separate from our feelings sometimes, why do we not believe him? It's because when you have usurped the authority of God, you may ask for what God has to say. You may ask for the authority of the scripture. You may ask for God's authority on a matter. But when your mind is fully set for you to be in control, you will dismiss it as if it was never even given, because you will place yourself as a human, as a judge over what God has said. So the asking of the question of authority is insincere. And I submit to you, this is how we determine those that have usurped the authority of God and who they are, and we watch the consequences. Read some more.
But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet.
Do you notice that these men, these leaders, these that have usurped the authority of the people that are following them, they realize that the people understood that John did have something that the other ones didn't have. They did realize that John was true to the word. They did realize that the judgment that John was pronouncing must have been from God. And these men were determined in their mind to obfuscate the truth, to darken it and muddy the waters so that the people would not see the authority of God that he had invested in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that they were doing that is because our authority would be diminished if his authority is recognized. So the insincere questioning was revealed by the way they handled that. Lord, have mercy. In the way that Gary Merritt says it. Please read.
So they answered that they did not know where it came from.
Now they plead ignorance. What do you mean, ignorance? Why do you say sa? Because I want to give you a mental break from just going through the scripture, because I've found it so many times people don't like God's word enough to walk with it all the way. Here's the problem. When they say, neither do I tell you or we don't know, now they're claiming ignorance. This is what is called relativism in many ways. I can't tell what the scripture meant. I can't understand and you can't understand. What was right for John is right for John. And what's right for you is right for you. But we can't tell. There's no way to discern from reading the scripture what the scripture means. Therefore, we're saying we're agnostic. We don't know. We don't know. But we know enough to know you're not the one. And since you don't know, if I had answered your question, you could still claim your ignorance. Please read.
And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.
We need to be afraid of that. Because in that statement that they gave, they have shown we reject the counsel of God. We have shown we reject what John has to say. Because John said he got it from somebody else. John said, I'm not the one. John said another one would come. And when you say you don't know, that means you don't believe what John said. And you've already admitted within yourself that he would ask this question, because that's the logical question to ask if you say it comes from heaven, which represents God. And Jesus said, I won't tell you. When an individual has usurped the authority of God, when a group of the clergy or religious people have usurped the authority of God, when that individual is placed on what we call the spot and questioned about it, or when we're questioned about something, when we insincerely are talking or asking about the authority, where do you get that from? Why do you say this? It reveals who we are. And it shows that we've rejected truth when we go on about our business. And in that case, you see, Jesus said, I'm not going to force it on you. I'm going to let you stay in the place that you are and receive the consequence. Somebody say, he didn't say that. Well, what does happen in verse 9? And help me.
And he began to tell the people this parable.
Right there in their face, he began to tell the people this. Notice how he tells Theophilus this parable. Please read.
A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while.
A man had a place that was his. It was a vineyard. It was his. He had complete autonomous authority over it. It was his. He had the ability to own it. He had the ability. He planted it like he wanted to, and he allowed it to go and be under the hand of what we call husbandmen. The Greek word there is georgios, because you know the word geo means earth. Mm-hmm. So these are men that worked on the earth. And he went, he left to a far country for a long time. Please read.
When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed.
Now, the Bible says that this man that went a long way, He sent, and this is an amazing word right here, the word sent, listen.
Apostello,
where we get apostle from. Now, he sent somebody from him with a message. And the message that he sent to those servants, to the slave is the one that's the apostle, that he should get some of the fruit of the vineyard that he owned, some of the fruit of the vineyard that he allowed them to work in. And the husbandman, the Bible says, instead of submitting to the authority of the owner, they looked at the person that he sent and beat him. Now, that's a real powerful word here. The word dero, let me let him say it.
Dero.
Dero to whip. When I looked that word up, listen to how this word is described in Loanita. To strike or beat repeatedly. To strike, to beat, to whip. And when you talk about this, it's a hard beating. And this man received a hard beating because their authority was being challenged. See, they had usurped an authority over this vineyard. But the owner of the vineyard was coming to get some of his just due. In other words, you must submit your will to me as my vineyard. And so he sends a messenger, and that messenger is a challenge to the authority that they have over the vineyard, but their authority is only usurped. It's only as a tenant. And they beat this person trying to silence the authority of the message. They rejected this man, and they showed it in the most vehement, vile, and ugly way that they could. Please read.
And he sent another servant.
And he sent another slave. This time, the word is pimpo. Listen. This word is not like the one with the message. This is someone that sent. He sent this person on a mission. Mm-hmm. I need that which is mine. I need you to understand this is mine. This is not yours. I need you to understand that the authority that you have is a loaned authority, but you are subjected to me. But the Bible says they did what?
Also beat and treated him shamefully.
Now, the Bible says they beat him. It's the same word. I will not look that word up again. But it added another word to it. It says in my version, they entreated him shamefully. Read it in your version, please.
Treated him shamefully.
Now, when we look at that word, we definitely want to look at that word. What does it mean? It's to treat someone in a shameful and a dishonorable manner. The key word here is dishonorable. This man is rejected. He has an honor. He comes on a mission from the owner, and he's treated with disgust and disdain. He's shamefully dishonored. What I'm saying is two things are happening here. One is the rejection that you are not going to tell me what to do, which reflects back to the one that sends him. Mm-hmm. When authority is rejected and usurped, those that come in the behest of the one that's truly in charge, when they are shamefully treated, when they are beaten, it goes back to the one that sent. And again, this person was beaten, trying to silence the messenger. And on top of that, they sent him away empty. What does that mean, they sent him away empty? You will not get the due. Quit sending messengers to me. I'm letting you know. I got this. I have usurped this. And I just want to add in that this is the way often we do with our lives. God sends messengers. I need service. God sends messengers. In this case, I need separation. God sends messengers. In this case, I need you to bow the knee to me and let people know what my will is, and don't bow down to this religious culture because they have usurped my authority. They don't like my word anymore. They don't care for my word anymore. They have rejected me, and they want to silence the message, and they're going to send you away empty. And often we send people away empty. We don't give them the opportunity to say, look, God wants this from you. Okay, I'll give it. No, get out of my face. You're trying to judge me. Who are you to judge? I got my own personal relationship with God But what it really boils down to is, I got this vineyard. Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out.
This word, when I was looking up words and I was reading and looking at tents and things, it made me say, Ann, I'm glad you helped me with what you helped me with to be able to pull this stuff up the sweet way that I can. Listen to this word and see if you can figure out what it means.
Traumatizo.
Trauma?
Traumatizo.
Trauma?
Yes. That word, they sent another slave and they beat him, the same thing, but this one, they traumatized him. They traumatized him. Now, when we think of traumatized, often we think of, many times, just a wound. Not a wound, but like when they go to the hospital and they have trauma. Mm-mm. When I give you this word, listen. To cause one to have a low honor of disrespect. Let me go back to traumatizo, because that word, when I looked it up, it was so amazing to me that I guess I was blown away. It means to give a wound. It means to give a scar. They traumatized this person. They treated this person in such a way that they seemingly are going more and more in the area of deeper and deeper violence toward the message. I submit to you that many times when we go with the word of God, it's going to get to the place where people are going to do some things to us. Mm-hmm. I just want to read this last part right here. When they treat someone in a shameful and a dishonorable way, and they treat them and cause them to have trauma, what do you think they want to do to God, really? Mm. What do you think? Do you the same thing? Because when the Bible says we are actually the body of Christ, we need to understand something. The things that they do to him, they really want to do to us. Mm-hmm. And so when they take that man and they wound him, they have shown not only contempt, but they've also shown this owner, quit coming. Quit giving us information. Don't send anybody else. But we're still going to have your vineyard. Mm-hmm. We're still going to be, in the case of churches, we're still going to be spiritual. We're still going to preach. We still will use your Bible to promote whatever it is we want to promote. Mm-hmm. And again, this is Law and Needle 2028. To hurt, to wound, normally resulting in some mark or permanent scar on the body, to hurt or to wound. And they did this, and they also did what after they wounded him?
Cast out.
And they got him out of their face. These people aren't even asking about authority. Mm. They just totally rejected it. 13.
Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him.
I will send my son, because they have not respected my authority. I will send my son because he's the crown prince. Mm-hmm. He is the, in that culture, he is the heir, and many times he is the owner of all that I own. Mm-hmm. So he sends his son because his son has the authority. That's the way to the father. The slaves did as well. But this one has a natural born honor. And he said, I will send my beloved. Now, that's a key word there. I will send my beloved. This is somebody special. This is someone close to my heart. He's not just a slave. This is how important it is for me to get my fruit. This is how important it is for you to understand that I'm in authority. I don't give up. I'm giving you one more chance before I let the hammer down. I've already lost two slaves. Three slaves. I've lost three, not killed, but I've lost three slaves insofar as their work, their time, and their effort. Now I'm sending my son. Perhaps they won't treat him shamefully. They will recognize his authority. In other words, they will sincerely bow down to him. Read on, please.
But when the tenant saw him, They said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours."
But when the farmer, the husbandman, saw him, they reasoned within themselves. If we say that it's from heaven, remember that the Bible said he said this to the Pharisees, to the people. He said it to the people about what the Pharisees were doing. If we say that it's of heaven, they're going to say, why didn't you believe him? If we say it's for men, they will stone us. In this case, they reason within themselves, saying, this is the heir. We know that it's the heir. There is something about this person that we know he really does have the authority. And they reason among themselves, being on borrowed time, being on borrowed land, saying, the heir is come. He's here. Let us get rid of him. Let us kill him. Let us replace him. Let us take our usurping of authority to the bridge. Let us take it all the way across, and it'll be ours. Let us kill him. There will be no consequence. We don't have to bow down to his authority. We recognize the authority of the Son, but we feel we got enough power because the owner is so far away. We've rejected everybody else. Now let's reject him. Let's silence him. For good, there's no one else that the owner can send greater than him. And they said, let us kill him. That we can have right to everything and every way and be autonomous and have self-rule in this vineyard. Please read.
And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him.
And they cast him out. They treated him shamefully with irreverence and killed him to silence the voice and the face of the authority of the owner. Oh, can you feel the preachness inside of me that just busting to come out? It's just like something just trying to cut and just tear a hole through my throat and let the preach come out. But I'm holding it back for just a little bit longer, as long as I can. Read.
What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them?
The question is almost rhetorical. Mm-hmm. But just because nobody could fully understand what to say, Jesus is going to supply the answer, please.
He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to another.
He will come and destroy. Now, somebody said that means that there's annihilation. No, he destroyed the earth before and the earth is still here. Those that go and reject God, they are destroyed from their place of authority. They are destroyed from their usurped authority. And then in the place of not being in favor, they're in disfavor and they're in ultimate judgment. He will come and he will destroy those husbandmen and replace them with those that will reverence his authority. Please read.
When they heard this, they said, surely not.
And I submit to you that they were wrong. Jesus just got through saying they will. And the people are saying, God forbid. I submit to you that this is what most people think about Jesus now when they read passages of the judgment, God forbid. But Jesus is not making this contingent. He said in this passage, this is what will be done. God forbid that you would usurp his authority. God forbid that you would question his authority insincerely. God forbid that you would reject his authority. God forbid that you would silence those that would give you the truth of God's word. And then you're going to talk about forbid the consequence. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. He that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Bless God's everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. Someone that preached eased out. Excuse me now. Go ahead, verse number 17.
But he looked directly at them.
And he looked at their face. Looked directly at them. This is not a cheap Jesus. This is not a scary Jesus. He looked directly at them because I'm talking to you. I need you to hear what I got to say. I ask you to your face. You want to know by what authority I do something? I'm going to show you the authority in which I do something. Walk with me now and read.
What then is this that is written?
What is written? I'm going to take you to the Word of God. Do you want to know about what authority I do something? I'm going to show you now. I've already shown you in a parable where you stand. I've already shown you in a parable where the Father stands. I've already shown you in a parable where I stand and what you will do to me. But, oh, glory to Jesus, the Scripture, the Word of God, you want to know about what authority? You don't want to know what authority. Let me tell you. Let me show you. Read it again in your magnificent voice.
What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
The very stone, the very one that was rejected, the one that you saw, the one that you looked at, the one that you felt when you were building you could do without. That's the one that you threw away and you rejected it. But obviously, there's someone that's building that you're not, that's not you. And it's obviously there's someone that's building that could do a better job than you. Obviously, there's an authority that overrides you because the stone that you rejected, huh? And some old Baptist preacher say, huh? Is not ahead of the corner. What do you mean? The authority is above you. You see, but you see not. And you don't perceive. Why? Because you're building something in diametric opposition to the one that has the authority to tell you what to build. You're building your own kingdom, your own power, your own might, and you're building your own kingdom in the kingdom of God, and God won't stand for it. And Jesus has just shown the one you rejected, in some kind of way, got to be the head of the corner. How can a stone that's rejected be the head of the corner unless somebody else is doing the building? Next one, read.
Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces.
Everyone that falls on that stone will be judged. Everyone that falls on that stone will be broken. What else?
And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him.
I submit to you by the Almighty God who stands forever at the authority of that stone. It's given by the real builder. And because you reject it, that's falling on it. Or if you don't pay attention, you fall on it. Those that disobey his word, they get crushed with the same stone because a house is going to be built. Just like the men in the parable that would be dealt with because they killed the son, the same way you're going to be dealt with when you call yourself getting rid of the stone, which is the son of the living God. Bless his mighty name forever. Read verse 19 for Tim Merritt.
The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour.
Why?
For they perceived that he had told this parable against them.
Again, I submit to you, they had asked the question by what authority. When he told them, it was the authority of the scripture. When he told them what God had to do. When he had illustrated to them in a parable. When he had shown them in the scripture at first, when he talked about what John did. You perceive, you saw what you asked in insincerity. And that way you are able to go ahead and just reject him totally altogether. Now you're trying to silence him. You want to silence him. He just told you what the consequence would be, but you're still trying to silence him. Why? Because when a man has set himself up to usurp the authority of God, he will not listen to God, no matter what warning or whatever comes on his way. That's how you identify him. They reject God's word. They reject God's authority, but they will never reject their own because they have an agenda. Next verse, please. Okay, finish it and then get the next one for me because I'm moving so fast.
But they feared the people.
They feared the people instead of the authority of God.
So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere.
When I was looking that word up, listen to this word, see if you can feel it. This is where we get hypocrite from. That would pretend that they were just or upright men. Why?
That they might catch him in something he said. So as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor.
Of the what?
Governor.
Of the what?
Governor.
The authority of the governor. When men reject the authority of God, They will always take the authority of some other man or some other source. You can identify men that will not accept the authority of God. Watch how they respond to God's word. Watch how they respond to what Jesus said. Watch how they treat people that tell them about God's word. Because when you see this, it's not accidental. It is not accidental. It is not accidental. That is the way that they operate. See, when Jesus told them about what they would do to him, he went to the scripture. They wanted to know. He told them about the scripture. What's the scripture say? In Psalms 118:22, the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. And Isaiah 28:16, Isaiah says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God. This is the one that's building the house. Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone. Tried stone, precious corner, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. I submit to you that when we read the word of God, Jesus knew what he was talking about. He wasn't playing. He was the truth. He is the truth and will always be the truth. Now, I won't go through and read Daniel chapter 2, but when you see Daniel chapter 2, and you see this magnificent statue that's built that represents the kingdoms of the earth and how big they are and their magnificence that they have, guess what comes up out of the mountain and destroys the kingdoms of this earth? A stone. Mm-hmm. A stone. A little stone come out of the mountain. Mm. Not cut out with hands. And it destroys. I submit to you that that picture in Daniel, or that statue with the gold head and the silver and the brass and the iron and the clay, represents mankind and his authority. Mm-hmm. His rejection of God. Mm-hmm. But that stone that comes one day shows that the authority that you had was only a loaned authority. Mm-hmm. You were just a tenant. And because you wouldn't give me mine, because you rejected the slaves or the servants or the prophets that I sent. Mm-hmm. Because you as a world rejected my beloved son and you cast him out and you killed him. Now I come as the one and I'm going to destroy it and I'm going to give it to those that will listen. I submit to you that every man's life, those of us who say that we're Christians, those of us who say that we're Biblicians, those of us who call ourselves religious, we got a vineyard, and it's our life. Do we usurp the authority? When God sends somebody, how do we treat them? When we want to know by what authority they do such and such, are we asking out of sincerity, or we just want to shut them up? And if we find we can't shut them up, do we silence them? Do we reject them? Do we cut them off out of our lives in so many ways to kill them? Rest fully assured that because of the fact we are part of the body of Christ, when we're doing these things, you're rejecting the Son. And you're trying to kill him. The Father will come. And according to what I read in Proverbs, he that is often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Thank the Lord for his everlasting word. Thank him for his goodness and his grace. And I ask you, Lord, to continually give me more of your word, because I cannot exhaust it. I leave so much on the table, but at least I just want to make sure that we understand that we can identify those that have usurped your authority and reject your authority, and we have taken it for ourselves. And often, Lord, in certain situations, we do the same thing. Let us be the kind that will listen when you send that first one, the second one, or the third one. Let us not get to the place that we reject your Son. Because, Lord, when we move ourselves and cut ourselves off from the hearing of the word of your Son, we've already just said in so many words, we'd kill him if we could. And take the authority of our own lives and let it be ours. But you are truly the builder. These bodies are not our own. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, to get our mind right and our life right while we're living now. Amen and amen, and even so. Amen.